Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, Fan Phenom is going to be going on this week. You have four opportunities. That is going to be this Thursday, next Thursday, and the following two Thursdays. We will be at different Jakes throughout DFW. We will tell you every week which one's coming up. And you got to get out there for it. This Wednesday, Friday night, that's tomorrow, we're going to be out at the Globe for the Rangers-Yankees game, setting things up there. And then on Friday, we'll be at Jake's off of Marsh Lane in Dallas. I think it's Marsh and Walnut Hill, so you want to be over there hanging out with us. You have some great burgers, have some great drinks. Mm-hmm. It's always a good time at Jake's. Kyren Williams just got paid, Alec. Is that what we're hearing here?
Yeah, Ian Rappaport has the story that Kyren Williams, after a Pro Bowl appearance, he's getting a three-year deal, $33 million, $23 million guaranteed.
That's not bad.
At signing, and I gotta put a little feather in my cap because I drafted him high in fantasy in our fan league last year, and everybody called that a tricky pick, a controversial pick, and it worked out very well. The man got paid for a reason.
People just hating on you is all that was.
Yeah, it happens a lot, apparently, especially on your show.
What's that? Do we hate on you?
Your producers do, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's true. Dylon did say that of all the people he could beat up here at the station, of all the producers he could beat up, he called out Alec Medford.
Wow. That seems unnecessary.
Well, I mean, look, we like to rabble-rouse at night.
Alec's Jack now.
Okay.
So kind of.
And Dylon, I mean, Dylon's skinnier than Carter.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact, I think Carter could kick Dylon's ass.
Okay, all right. And, you know,
I'm instigating right
Carter
now.
Has ginger rage.
Oh.
So that's something that he can also
ginger rage
dip into.
Is real.
I've seen it before.
100%.
There was a day where something was going on back there, I was giving him a hard time, and I saw his face turn as red as this note as your notebook, and then he flipped me off. Now, a couple days later, he apologized.
Hit you with the keyboard.
It took two days for him to calm down after that.
Just one angry looking beat.
Ginger rage and old man strength you don't want to mess with. Those are two things you don't want to mess with.
I'm here for it.
Congratulations to Kyren Williams. He'll be practicing joint practice with the Cowboys today, and they'll be playing Saturday right here on 105.3 The Fan as they get the preseason started there. Now, Micah Parsons, this discussion we've kind of gone through. Hey, where do we feel? I think most of us feel like, and Mickey talking this morning, this is placating. This is kind of, it's part of the show. He's playing part of it. Now, it is a little bit of a match back and forth. It's part of negotiations.
Yeah. You know,
we've seen this on smaller levels in a lot of different areas. And every year it seems like we see this with Jerry Jones. But let's go through the practice of it all too. If something was to happen, if they said, all right, we are finally at a point where we can no longer do this, what are some places, some trade partners that might be options for the Cowboys?
He'd look good in a Chiefs uniform. I'll tell you that much right now.
Okay. Mm. Is that you? You grew up a Chiefs fan?
Yeah. In case y'all didn't know, I am a Chiefs fan for A1 from day one.
Okay.
I'm 44 years old. I grew up in Topeka, Kansas, which is, 50 minutes from Kansas City.
You went through all the bad.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, I grew up on Marty Schottenheimer. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when I asked Brian Schottenheimer a question, I'm coming at it from a place of, like, bro, I've been there.
Heart, yeah, you care.
I know. I mean, I grew up when... I mean, I was there for Steve DeBerg. I had the Christian Okoye Nigerian nightmare with the Freddy glove poster in my room. All right, so yeah, don't call me a bandwagoner. I've been through the Brody Croyles, the Brock Hewards, the Tyler Thigpens. Okay, Matt Cassel. All right.
You had the Dante Halls, though.
I was there for old boy shooting himself in the parking lot.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, I remember that,
Yeah,
too.
We tend to gloss over that for good reason. All right.
One of my favorite players of all time is Derek Thomas, by the way. That's like one of my favorite. I always loved his style of the way he played. One of my favorite players.
Impregnated half of Kansas City.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But now that I do, doesn't change
Sean
anything.
Sean Kemp of the NFL.
On the field, he was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, he had to keep playing.
I didn't see, like back then, I wasn't getting a Kansas City star. You know, I was here in Dallas getting
great
the more
newspaper,
news.
Though.
Yeah.
Great newspaper, though.
Yeah, a lot of great writers coming out of that one, for sure.
They did. You blew Jeff Passan from there.
Yes, that is true.
Wright Thompson.
The first team on NFL.com's list is the Buffalo Bills. They don't have the cap space to make this deal happen.
Right.
And they would have to kind of go through a lot of different hoops to get to that place. They also pick at the back end of the draft pretty much every year because they're trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the last game of the year.
Got a pretty good quarterback.
They do have a good quarterback. I would, if Micah was to go somewhere, I'd be like, hey, that's a great, great place for you to be. I just wouldn't see that place happening.
Yeah, you'd have to give up two. I mean, they'd have to give up a lot.
NFL.com suggests the Carolina Panthers. They allowed the most points in the NFL last season, 534, and they need some defense. They needed everything, right? Like, they went through, they were a bad team, and they're trying to make this first-round pick quarterback look good, and they're like, we still don't have any talent around us.
That's one of those you're just trying to stick it to, Mike, if you made a trade like that.
You think so? Yeah. Hey,
Carolina. Who cares about Carolina?
This one is interesting. The Chicago Bears. The price tag for Parsons, we've discussed this. Two firsts is where it starts. Like, it doesn't, and that's where it starts.
I mean, do they even have first round picks left?
I don't think so. I don't think they do.
That's right. They took all of Carolina's. Never mind.
They could scrounge together the draft picks if they wanted to, but it would be one of those where, all right, this is the team now. Like, they don't have any other options after
that. Okay, but let me ask you this.
You send him there, you're sending him to the right place for him.
Well, for him, yes, but I wonder from a Chicago standpoint, do you have buyer's remorse because of the Khalil Mack deal?
That's a good question.
You know, you tried that once before,
but that was kind of a bargain for them. Like, that ended up being actually pretty good.
Oh, for Khalil Mack?
Like, it ended up being the Raiders.
I mean, you didn't
win
anything, but you know. And again, and to your point, you talked about it during crosstalk this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby. You know, does a DN put you over the top?
The best defensive end in the league right now is Myles Garrett. He's never going to get to the Super Bowl.
No. Well, not with Cleveland.
Not with that team.
Not with Cleveland, unless he's a trade deadline target somewhere.
The next team on this list, the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
And that would make sense. They actually have the picks to be able to pull this off, but because of the Travis Hunter trade. So now they have the ability to do this immediately. But for a team possibly turning a young quarterback this year, it wouldn't be great for him.
No.
But, again, Cowboys could be an option there. And then the Las Vegas Raiders are an option as well. You see him next to Max Crosby, across from Max Crosby. We talked about this yesterday. We don't think that the Raiders are a good team. But they have a good head coach.
They do.
A reasonable quarterback.
You saw TB12 out there, too.
Yes, you did.
Isn't that a weird situation, though?
What?
Like, and you know, we kind of glossed over it last year because we're like, all right, we kind of wanted to see what Tom Brady was going to be like in the booth. He's an NFL owner who's actively participating with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's out there at training camp.
But they have rules. He can't go be parts of some of these meetings.
And I think that's and you can tell.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yes, you can.
And look, and don't be wrong. I mean, look, Tom Brady, I'm a Tom Brady guy. I love me some Tom Brady. But you can tell in his breakdowns, like, you know, you get stuff, and look, I like Greg Olsen. I don't think Greg Olsen's the end all be all like everybody else does.
I think Greg Olsen's great.
I do too, but I mean, people make it out like this dude's John Madden or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yes, he's good, but let's stop pretending like he's, you know, the greatest color commentator of
I think
all
he's
time.
Better than Brady.
Well, yeah, of course he should be better than Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not Tom Brady.
No, that's true.
Okay.
And he says important instead of important, you know, and that's always freaked me out. Just
who says that? Greg Olsen does?
Yeah, it's important. Listen,
is
next
that
time.
An East Coast thing? I feel like there's certain phrases and words
and
that
letters
are,
that just go missing.
They're like, T's are important, ladies and gentlemen. take that however you want to.
The Buccaneers. Buccaneers are also an option. And then the final one, NFL.com has the Washington Commanders. There's no way. Right? No way.
I mean, the price is double. I'd want four first-round picks.
I'd be interested to see what they get from... So you're saying within the division immediately the price goes up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No matter what?
I'm going to fleece you and... You want Micah? Great. I want four first-round picks.
And you know what, though? When you have a team like they have right now, it might be worth it. You might be looking at your team going, we're young in a lot of different areas. I know we might get something for Terry McLaurin that could help balance this out, which I personally think they should keep Terry McLaurin anyway, but that's a different story. We're very young in a lot of different positions. We're set for the future.
Yeah.
Now I know they added Von Miller and he's now at the top of their depth chart.
Our age.
And that would be like Dan Quinn would love to have the player that he brought into the system and knows how to use and all those things.
Oh,
knows how
Mike
to,
is eaten that in would be Washington. It. But again, you're basically at that point, you're going Los Angeles Rams. We don't care about a first round pick for the next half decade.
F them picks.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it got him a Super Bowl.
Yeah. This was brought up by your friend Mike Florio.
Yeah.
Who you took shots at yesterday, and I appreciate that.
I did. Horrible choice. Good lawyer, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do like this question.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones has been negotiating directly with players who are represented by agents.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this for years.
Long time.
This ignores the letter and the spirit of the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
He's done this before, and he's been unchecked by the NFLPA.
Well, stopping Jerry.
The NFLPA, should they step in, or is this beneficial to the NFLPA because they know that Jerry Jones is going to eventually cave in on these, on whatever it is anyway, and it helps them set the market. As long as he's doing that, nobody else is in there getting in the way of this turning into, because Jerry said this yesterday, yeah, I work on these significant deals. Steven takes care of the BS.
Absolutely.
I work on the significant deals.
Is Dak mad that Jerry negotiated his deal?
No.
Is CeeDee Lamb upset that Jerry negotiated his deal?
Is Zeke?
No.
None of those guys are.
Cowboy fans are, right? But it's the same. I mean, if any owner would overpay the way Jerry does, and really the only one we're, I mean, let's be honest, okay? Yeah, you gave Zeke a deal too early. But CeeDee Lamb was was market appropriate. All right. I mean, let's be real. If we're getting into the nitty gritty here, outside of the consternation and the football field aspect of it, okay, you should have never given Dak $60 million.
True.
Okay. Period. End of story. That was a dumb deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have waited, let him play it out, and then going into this season would have been a night and day different. Now, could you imagine him negotiating Micah and Dak this season? I mean, heads would have exploded. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, and of course, we'd have content. I mean, hell, we might knock off Infinity Network overnight and just do more Cowboys contract talk.
We'd never talk football, just contracts.
Just contracts. Seriously, it'd be Joel Corey all, by the way, what, tomorrow morning on tomorrow. 8 o'clock with the morning show.
Nice work.
That said, no one has an issue with the CeeDee Lamb deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're upset because it took a little too long. But ultimately, no one's complaining about it. It's market appropriate.
It was frustrating that the early part of the season, CD says that he had problems being ready for the season because of it. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's the part we worry about. Because the Micah deal, and for all intents and purposes, is going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're having fun with this trade proposal stuff.
Yeah.
But you, me, Alec Carter, and everybody listening here today to 105.3 The Fan.
We know where it's going to land.
You know as well as all of us. Micah Parsons will be a Dallas Cowboy for the next 5 or 6 years. And he's going to get paid anywhere from $160 to $200 million guaranteed. We're going to quibble over this. They're going to kumbaya when it's all said and done. And the $1 million, or maybe in this question, or in this case, $200 million question is going to be, will it get done before September 4th against the Philadelphia Eagles? And then the longer standing repercussion of all this is, okay, let's say it doesn't. And it does get done right before that. You're not playing him against the Eagles. And then, okay, then he needs to get back in shape because even though he's there at camp, it's not like he's doing anything football-wise. Then it's going to take him 2 or 3 weeks to get into football shape.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the stuff that, again, I've talked about this. I talked about this with G-Bag yesterday. That is my biggest frustration and irritation with all of this, is that valuable football time is being missed out.
You're going to get two quarters of great production out of him before he tweaks
a hammy.
I'm exhausted, and I need to be on the sideline for half of this quarter as well. I'm fascinated that the Players Association and the league haven't stepped in and said, Jerry, you can't do this anymore.
Right. No,
but as you said, nobody messes with Jerry. They're like, he does his own thing.
What? He's overpaying people? Yeah, whatever.
Everybody seems to be okay with that. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time for some AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the perfect marriage of pro wrestling and pro sports next on The Fan.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Twitch and YouTube, want to hear from you as well. Plus, a complete mad idea to marry pro wrestling and pro sports from Bill Simmons. We'll get to that sound here in just a little bit, based off of something that happened at SummerSlam over the weekend out at MetLife Stadium in New York. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Gentlemen, look at the National Day calendar. I see National Underwear Day is today, which means Corey is not participating. It is also National...
You're a commando?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Very, very well-known fact.
Yeah, MJF, when we were out at the Globe. By the way, we'll be at the Globe tomorrow.
That's right.
Nathan Eovaldi on the mound today. Yeah. Aaron Judge coming back. Rangers rolling against the Yankees right now. MJF was out there. He sat down with us. He talked some smack and tried to walk off. I cut a promo on him.
Yeah.
And then he tried to come back and give me a wedgie. Said, joke's on you.
Couldn't do it.
I don't wear underwear.
Wow.
And it's really tough to outsmart a guy like MJF, who is just like pure evil.
Yeah, he's a great actor now.
Yeah, exactly. And you outsmarted him. You got him to break, too, you and Kevin both. So good job on that.
Twice.
And that's incredibly tough to do. So we're going to skip over that. It's National Work Like a Dog Day. I feel like everybody can relate to that at some point in their lives. It's National Oyster Day. Who cares about that? But it's National Night Out Day. So...
okay.
What is an ideal night out with you and your boys, you and your friends? 877-881-1053. What's your favorite activity to do with friends here lately? Because mine has evolved over time. Obviously, once you get past the age of 21, the options open up a little bit. But I will say, I have a favorite go-to that kind of was opened up because of that, but it depends on where you go. I love the arcade scene with friends.
Right?
Because I'm competitive as hell.
Yeah.
And I just love competing against my friends and people that I care about, because I feel like I can be a little bit more intense when I've known them for years and years and years. I can say some things that are probably hurtful to any other person, but it's just the gamesmanship of knowing that person for so long. So going to one of those, like, you know, arcades where you can grab a beer and you can just walk around and play all the games with everybody, and you can just demolish your friends in skee ball or, you know, whatever, like
air hockey.
Yeah, like air hockey, buddy. Any of that kind of stuff, I love that. I could spend 4 hours at an arcade like that just trying to whoop my friends at any game I play.
Are they target-rich environments?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And some of them will do like different theme nights and stuff.
Okay.
Where it's kind of like more inviting to trying to get more people out and get different types of people out, kind of come out of their shell and have some fun, have a few drinks or whatnot.
Okay.
And it's really hard to get into some of those places at those times because there's, as you kind of alluded to, there's a lot of people on a mission.
Yeah.
So I just like to pick a Friday or a Saturday night where there's not really anything going on, so I know I can actually get in the door.
There's a difference, absolutely.
Yeah, because some of those parties that they do and stuff, it's like you got to get in the second they open RSVPs on a website, and if you don't, you're screwed. So, because I've tried that. I know, like, Cidercade has done, like, those stoplight parties where it's, like, depending on the wristband you have or the color cup you have, that tells your availability to everybody in the building.
Oh, they got, like, singles parties at these games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Agent Carter Freeman. Hello.
So you can show up with somebody, and if you have a red cup, that means, hey, stay away.
Yeah.
If you have a yellow cup, that means there's something there, but I could be swayed. You know?
Oh, wow.
And then green means I'm open for business.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What's the side piece color?
Yellow. That would be the color. That's like, hey, there's technically something going on here, but...
situation.
Yeah, there's a situation going on, but there's no titles.
But I'm open.
Or the easy way to put it, it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated. Yeah.
So I've seen the complicated
things. I think it was actually Blake Elliott who tried to get me to go to one of those, and then we went to the website, and they were booked. They were like, nope. Not a single slot open. You gotta walk up and see if maybe there's some spots open.
Are you as sold on Blake's wingman skills as he purports them to be?
Yes, because I've experienced it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to our boy Blake Elliott.
Yeah, and he still tells the story like I'm the villain in the situation because he got himself kicked out of a bar. After he set me up with somebody.
Oh, he got kicked out but he was not accosting the, and you know, look, there's not a hurtful bone in Blake Elliott's body. Let's make that clear. But he had said something about, you know, kind of questioning the person's work ethic?
Yeah.
To that effect?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, his ego got involved, and then the bigger ego of the bartender got involved.
He can't help himself.
Yeah. And this was with no drinks in his system whatsoever.
Right.
This was Blake just Blake Elliott being Blake
Elliott.
No,
sir. So, no, sir.
Yeah, and I understand why he wanted to go to one of those scenes, but I do love the arcade scene when I'm hanging out with friends, or even if it's like mini golf or something. I need something that I can be like unreasonably competitive.
What's your go-to arcade game that if I told you, hey, you're going to get the 10 out of here, but you got to win this game, it will be?
Ooh. Give me stick hockey.
Okay.
Not air hockey, stick hockey.
What is like, stick hockey?
Like the old school, it's got a big dome over it, and it's kind of like foosball, but with hockey players.
Oh,
it's a lot more complicated than foosball.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I could get some work done with stick hockey.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at it. Pretty good at it.
Yeah, there was a time that foosball would be it. My uncle was a big time, like, he was
you
playing.
You spin it?
Can't. That's against the rules.
See, what's the deal?
But I learned how to roll it.
Yeah,
down the.
That's the key,
floor,
right?
Yeah. Pop, and then I was, we. So he brought a Texas tornado or a tornado foosball table to me.
Okay.
I had it in the apartment. We did nothing but play. Like that was everybody would come to our apartment and party because we had a building with nobody else in it but us. We lived on the third floor. Loud. All right. Had a great time. And we played all night long.
Did you live in like a Section 8 condemned apartment building? What do you mean there was nobody else in there?
No, it was a new build. And so they weren't full yet. And so we asked for a discount on the price. And they said, if you stay in that building, right. Third floor. And we were like, deal. So, we got really good. So there was a time, but I would probably go with NBA Jam.
Is it the shoes?
Yeah, it would be NBA Jam. That would be the game that I would be like, I got this.
Okay.
And I'm leaving with Adrian.
Cool. Nice.
Because she's
nice.
A 10.
That's
look
nice.
At you.
She's a 10.
I'll tell you what.
That's
this guy
nice.
Is happily married.
The here's the thing, though. Being happily married, I don't go out with the boys as much as I used to.
We got three kids,
and we
man.
Play Call of Duty. So that's the thing. But if we do, we just wind up at somebody's house and go to the pool.
Dude,
and
that's what. We
drink in the
pool.
Sage.
Yeah. Drink in the pool. That's usually the way that we rock. That's
if you leave your house, I'm counting it. So
okay,
that's a valid answer.
I leave the house, go to my buddy's house, hang out in his pool.
That's definitely.
And then get a ride home safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sleep on his couch.
A little kickback scene. It doesn't hurt anybody. I like it.
No, it doesn't. No. What do I do for going out? I really don't go out. That's the problem.
Yeah, me and Blake will change that.
I do nighttime radio, and so yes. Now I will go out. Now look, and to your point, Alec, you know this. I have gone out with Blake a handful of times.
Oh,
and
it's already happened.
Well, but here's the thing, I don't drink. So, the level of tomfoolery is only so much, right? I mean, we've gone to, where have we gone to? Ojos Locos. Not a target-rich environment. Okay, not a target-rich environment.
It depends on the day.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You're not pulling waitresses.
No, they're
not
there to
at
make
my
money.
Age.
Yeah.
Not
there
at
to
my
money.
Age. Okay. That's the problem. Look,
they're working you for a tip.
Exactly.
Look, they absolutely are. Me and Blake went there a couple weeks ago, right after a show. And dude next to us is probably 60. All right. But see, difference was me and Blake are eating quesadillas and drinking tea. Mm-hmm. This dude's over here pounding Dos Equis. All right. My man's over here got old girl with the BBL blinging out the back. All right. Just staring through his phone. You know what I'm saying? I told Blake, I said, we can't compete with that. We can't compete with that.
So just bring the Patron bottle and set it on the table.
I mean.
At that point, you may as well.
Might as well. So, yeah, I did, and real quick, nerd thing. Like last night, my son's in town. We went to the gym. We hung out at the gym. We worked out.
I've done that before, though.
I'll tell you, right?
It's kind of fun.
It absolutely
though,
is.
Here's a place that I suggest to you. Friday, Saturday night. Legacy Hall area.
Okay.
You've been over to the Legacy Hall.
I don't even know what Legacy Hall is.
Legacy
bro.
Hall near the Star. It's near the Star.
Okay.
So it's in that area. And this is what happened a few years ago on soda, as lean as I'd been in years.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic work by me. And my wife and I go out for our anniversary dinner.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, Adrian and I, we go out. We'll go out to have drinks and go somewhere. We go out, we're having, she leaves and goes to the restroom. I'm at the bar by myself. I said, give me some of that Colonel Taylor's there. Two girls show up, sit down next to me, and they look at me and they say, hey,
Who you here with, big boy?
Would you would you come dance for us?
Mm.
And I was like, what do you mean dance? And they said, well, we're a bachelorette party and we need somebody to, and you look great. And I was like,
wow.
This is the greatest compliment I've ever gotten. And then I start laughing and remember my wife is there.
Yeah.
And I was
for
like,
a second though.
And that's when I was like, by the way.
Were you not wearing the wedding ring?
Yeah, I was. But I was like, this is my wife and I think it was our 12th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they were like, that is so cute. And I was like, yeah. So unfortunately, I can't. Yeah, I wanted to see 13. Hey, we're at 19 now, I believe. So I wanted to see here. And then I told my wife and she laughed. And I was like, damn, that hurts, you know, a little bit. But Legacy Hall is a pretty little area that's kind of popping.
Have you guys been to that Time Machine place? What was that time machine
place? The Magic Time Machine?
Yeah, that Kevin was talking about.
It's the same as it always was. It is a time capsule is what I remember.
I need to check this place.
It hasn't changed. But yeah, that I would say Legacy Hall is a good area to slip through. Just go check it out for a minute and on a Friday or a Saturday night.
Fair enough. See. From the 512, a round of golf with the boys, then everybody's families meet up afterwards for some barbecue in the pool.
Wholesome fun.
That's very wholesome. From the 214, a Rangers game. That's always great with the buddies. Whenever, like, a lot of my friends are still in college, so whenever we get everybody in town, we try to make an effort to get out to a Ranger game as a group and then go hang out at Texas Live after. That's always my favorite.
Aren't you kind of a karaoke guy, though, too?
Yeah, I haven't done it in years, though. Because my friends are lame, man. Like, anytime I pitch the idea, there's, like, three people that are in, and then the other, you know, like, eight that we invite are like, I'm 50-50. And then it's like, okay, that means you're too scared.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Just have a couple, you know, whiskey cokes and you'll be okay. Nobody's here to judge.
No,
we're here to have fun.
It's karaoke, dude.
To have fun. So I do like the Rangers game suggesting there. I like this from the 214. They're going to see Fantastic Four tonight with their brother. Mm. I still need to see that. I'm so behind on movies and stuff. It's bad.
Studio Movie Grill does something where people with disabilities can come watch for free, on Saturday morning. And Lucy and Adrian and Avery went to go see it. I had to take Carter to go do some stuff, but they went to go see it. And Avery loved it. Adrian said it was good. And Lucy spoiled it for me. She told me what happened at the very end. And I was like, appreciate that. Well, but they all liked it. That is another thing. I like to go to Studio Movie Grill. I love the fact that I can have a meal and a movie
like a dad thing
all in one spot. It's great. And they serve Petacola's Velvet Hammers
there.
Only
you could fall asleep, then you'd be good. Yeah.
Big Velvet Hammer guy. And guys, I have an insane idea that would never happen, but this is courtesy of Bill Simmons on the Bill Simmons podcast, appropriately named there. So over the weekend, WWE had their second biggest pay-per-view of the year, SummerSlam, the first ever two-night SummerSlam out at MetLife in New York. And Bill Simmons, a big wrestling guy too, outside of the regular pro sports, he watched it. And night one, just to make it brief, Seth Rollins pulled off the dupe of the century where he faked a catastrophic knee injury. At Saturday night's main event, he was spotted in public on crutches and a big brace. He went and actually got MRIs done at their company doctor's office, like legit and everything. And he sold this kayfabe. He kept it alive, and to the point where he even told his daughter, like, I'm hurt, I'm gonna be out for a while. And she immediately went and told her preschool teacher, hey, my dad is faking an injury. So she spoiled that for the preschool teacher. But he was faking this so he could surprise everybody at SummerSlam, take off the knee brace, throw the crutches away, cash in his contract for the world title match, and win the world title on spot after duping everybody. He's had numerous knee injuries before, so everybody thought it was real that he tweaked his knee again. So Bill Simmons had a bit of an idea of how this could translate to pro sports.
It was the best injury swerve I've ever seen in my life, and it made me think, I just wish this could happen in other sports where, I tweeted this, and then people were like, this did happen with Paul Pierce in 2008 when you got hurt in the wheelchair. And I was like, all right, I didn't really have a comeback for that. But it would be funny. I guess teams do this with football injuries where they either hide how hurt somebody is but it would be great if somebody was just supposed to miss the game and then all of a sudden showed up, like some playoff game. It's like Josh Allen, he's out, he's been scratched, he's going to be the third quarterback. And then he just runs out 100% healthy and just with the other team. I loved it. I love the Rollins thing. WWE is having a really, really strong comeback year from a storytelling standpoint, even though it was doing well.
So I think that idea is amazing just because the situation he gave. Imagine a Bills, and for Fred's sake here, a Bills-Chiefs playoff game. Josh Allen, he's done for. He's not playing. We're going to make him the emergency third quarterback. And then they go for the coin toss, and he comes running out. He has some music that right hits, and he just runs right to midfield, and he says, nope, gotcha. I'm playing, and then they win the game. So I know it would never happen, but wouldn't that be amazing just to see? And I saw somebody followed up with a tweet to his idea, and they said, imagine the trade deadline, but nobody is allowed to report the trades. So the only time you find out that a player gets moved is when they come out in their new jersey.
Yeah.
That would be even crazier.
Yeah, that would be
chaos. And that would be the most pro wrestling thing ever.
Must-see kind of stuff, too. Great stuff there, Alec Medford. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. How many quarterbacks do the Browns actually need? Next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, all 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Fred Davis. We got Alec Medford hanging out with us as well, and it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy. Dip it and rip it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot going on this week and this weekend with the NFL as we get moving into the first preseason games. I know the Hall of Fame game happened. I don't count that one, Fred. That's not something I count. But these preseason games that are going to be rolling here are going to get some good ideas of what some of these teams are doing and what some teams aren't doing, because Joe Burrow is going to play. Zach Taylor said, hey, we got to get him out on the field. He and the receivers need to be out there. You go back and look at what their last three Septembers, they've been terrible. And so, hey, let's get him out there. Let's get him some reps, because we need to be ready for game one this year, not trying to play catch up. And if you watch receiver, I don't know if you've gotten your eyes on that yet, or not receiver, quarterback. Joe Burrow talks a lot about that and how frustrating it is, because they know they're good, but they waste so much time early in the season trying to get it back together. So that's one of the reasons I asked Mickey about Dak. They have work to do.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Dak Prescott and George Pickens need to be able to be in full pads against opponents that aren't the Cowboys, and a joint practice is fine, but joint practice is very much detailed and lined up. What happens whenever everybody's plans are all out there and nobody knows what's going on? We need some moments like that.
Yeah, no, once you get off schedule, I mean, let's call it what it is. I think I heard a stat years ago where I think most plays break down within the first, 2 seconds of a play. So, how much can a quarterback improvise, go off schedule, what have you, to your point. And again, whether it's a couple series, no one's expecting him to play a whole half. Because as we talked about a little bit yesterday, you're only going to play maybe a quarter in the first game, maybe a half in the second game, and that's it. So you're going to get essentially 6-7 series max going into an NFL season of live football action. I think that's a big reason why the NFL nowadays, those first 2 or 3 games of the first 2-3 weeks of the NFL season is basically an extension of the preseason now, because you got guys that, A, they haven't hit, tackling's usually not that good, and offense is kind of a little wonky because, again, you're not seeing real live football action from your ones.
Yeah, you can't get the real scrimmage type environment in real life. You can't get that real stuff. I do wonder, too, I'm sure the Staubachs, the Aikmans, those generations look at these guys, and is pansy a bad word? Sure they look at it and they go, what a bunch of pansies. They're not playing any preseason games. The owners are like, I'm saving myself millions of dollars wasted by not having them play in these preseason games. It's a waste. Also, the owners don't want the games. They want real games.
Right.
They want to have a longer season, 18, 20 games. Jerry said that multiple times. So I don't know what's right, though, because it seems like the old way worked for the physicality of the NFL season.
It did.
The line is, football doesn't make tough people. Tough people play football.
Yeah.
And you walk in and play tough games, and some guys used to play tough games in the preseason just to make teams, that was pride for them. I don't know what's right, but it just does seem like you have a sloppier football early in the season because you waste your time with the preseason.
Plus, you have no 2 days
for the
anymore.
Backup guys.
No more 2 days, right? Where guys were hitting twice a week, or excuse me, twice a day for 2-3 weeks of the preseason, and we're playing 4 preseason games.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns have added yet another notable name to their quarterback room. Tyler Huntley, Former Pro Bowl quarterback. Yep,
Pro
that is.
Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
He is 27. He spent last training camp with Cleveland before making failing to make their roster. Injuries to Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders have all kind of put them in a weird situation. Pickett missed three practices before coming back on Saturday, limited capacity.
Right.
Sanders didn't participate in team drills this Saturday due to arm soreness, but he was back on practice on Monday.
Yesterday, wasn't he?
Gabriel was limited on Monday as he was dealing with hamstring tightness. And then Joe Flacco's old. So that happens to be one of those things that they're doing. How many quarterbacks will run through Cleveland before the end of this season?
I mean, what are you bringing Huntley back for to begin with? I mean, why? I mean, regardless of whether these guys are banged up or not, I mean, you've already got four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And arm soreness. That, I mean, Shedeur Sanders has been playing football his entire life. When did his arm? I mean, he's not throwing 100 mile per hour, rehab sessions.
Do you think they throw more reps in the NFL than they do in college practices? And I'm very curious about this.
I don't think so. I mean, look, especially when you're in Colorado, my guess is he was taking the majority of the snaps. It's not like Deion had whoever. I mean, gun to your head, could you even name another player besides Tyler, Travis Hunter, and Shedeur?
Shiloh Sanders.
Shiloh.
So yeah, one other one. Another thing too, though, is maybe he is throwing a little harder than he was in college because
now that I
in
could
college
see.
He was
that I could see
he knew his guys are beating whoever the cornerbacks are. He's probably
tighter
tossing.
Windows.
Yeah, and he's probably and adrenaline. You're out here trying. You're trying to prove that you're not a
no Miles Garrett in the Big 12.
You're not a hey, this guy could have been undrafted. You know, you're not. I'm not that. No. I'm actually I could be a starter in the NFL, and I got to show that not only my team but my coaches that I can do that. So maybe that's it, but. I don't know. It just feels like they're going to have a lot of names run through there because it's Cleveland and they never know exactly what they're going to do.
That just seems like a really dysfunctional. I mean, we already knew it was kind of a dysfunctional situation already. And of course, you can't even include Deshaun because he's got the whole Achilles thing going on. But I mean, I'm guessing it's got to be strictly a camp body.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right? That's definitely the thing there. But I think it's always funny to keep track of the amount of quarterbacks because. What, we've seen 60 of them since like 2000? And so I always feel like we're just adding to the list. One of the most intriguing stories of the offseason and continually as we go forward is going to be and will continue to be Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter because of the two-way starter option. Mm-hmm. He could be a two-way star. And Liam Cohen discussed with Rich Eisen, he said ultimately for him, going to come down offensively and defensively. We've done more offense because that's where more of the development was necessary. And that makes sense, right? He needs to learn routes. He needs to learn what the nuances of our offense. On defense, he needs to learn how to shut down a guy. Like, we don't necessarily
that's tall order, dude.
Yeah, we don't necessarily need him to do this, but he said it is absolutely going to happen. That Travis Hunter will absolutely get not just the first reps on the depth chart, but he will absolutely be playing both ways on the field.
I mean, look, we've got Good Morning Football on in the studio here, and Liam Cohen's talking about how he thinks there's a viable chance or plausible chance that Travis Hunter can be in the conversation for offensive and defensive rookie of the year. If he's able to do in the NFL what he did in college, I just think that speaks to what a freakish – athlete and we talk about, I mean, look, we know you got to be a freak to be in the NFL to begin with, but if this dude's able to play at the same level in college and do so in the NFL, we forget Deion, and we look, I like Deion as much as the next guy, but that's we've never seen anything even remotely close to that.
What's in it for him? We look at Shohei should be paid more than anybody because he does two things,
and he is,
but he still, I mean, he can, like, Soto's contract comes up and you're like, like, he just hits.
Yeah.
But so what's in it for him other than, oh, that dude's different. And whenever a Hall of Fame comes up, maybe that's the other thing. But, oh, that guy's different because he does both things. I think it's just going to get him more attention. And I think
definitely get him more money.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh.
I think if you're a great quarterback, you're going to get paid.
Shut down corner and wide receiver, though. I mean, look, now you go from being a $30 million. Now you're talking about possibly quarterback money.
You're not getting paid double, though. They're not going to pay.
You what, you're going to be.
You could change the market.
You're going to be in your own market.
Yeah.
There's nobody that does what he does. I mean, and look, that's a phenomenal point. I mean, look, nobody, we've never seen that conversation be had where, okay, I'm paying you to be both a number one wide receiver and a number one cornerback. Now, the question is, how long will he be able to do it for when that first contract comes up? But hey, if he's a, I mean, and we're going to find out this year of what this guy can do. As you know, again, on both sides of the ball, because then the other part of it is too, is if, you know, if you're an offense, if you're CJ Stroud and he's trying to lock up Nico Collins. Okay. And oh, by the way, you just got off offense and you just got done playing offense. I'm probably going at you.
Yeah.
On the next series.
Yeah.
Cause you, I mean, they talk about it when guys come off kickoffs,
mm-hmm.
you go after somebody like that. Imagine playing the entire series previous to kickoffs. One thing. Now I'm going to go at you after playing an entire series. This is one of those stories that sounds good right now in training camp, and it looks fun, and it's great on Madden. We will find out. And again, it gives us one more reason to watch Jacksonville.
Oh, for sure, right there, for sure. And another reason to watch the Vikings. JJ McCarthy will be playing in the preseason opener.
Well, he's got to,
and that is important too. I want my eyes on it, because this team with Brian Flores as their DC, the talent they have on defense, maybe the best receiver in the game. If he can be good, they are going to be a contender. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time to discuss this Rangers team. Have you already made up your mind on what this Rangers team is, or do you believe they're going to figure it out? And was last night the turning point? We do it next on The Fan.